Irish Radio International.
And now, on Irish Radio International, it's the Talk Show for Talkers.
Good evening, Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, listeners and friends. You're very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishradiointernational.com. Our email address is info@irishtalkers.com. You can also find us on Facebook as the Talk Show for Talkers. And we welcome your comments, questions, evaluations even. My name is Ted Malamphy and I am joined, as usual, by the purposeful Paul O'Mahony.
Hello, Ted Malamphy. Very nice to be working with you again.
Yes, thank you, sir. It's nice to be back again. And the mercurial Moira O'Brien.
And it's good to see Ted again.
Thank you very much. I didn't think I was missed that much.
And Moira, I'm here as well across the table.
Of course you are, Paul, but having just been introduced, I didn't think it necessitated being purposeful in bringing you back so quickly.
Oh, it is as easy as pie to introduce me.
Yes, of course it is.
Child's play, I would call us, wouldn't you, Ted?
I would. Yeah, I would. Child's play, definitely.
We ought to refer our listeners, to our website, which is www.irishtalkers.com. It's a well worthwhile, nice alliteration there.
Lovely.
Well worthwhile visit for you to make. Because on our website, not only do we have podcasts of all our shows, or certainly all our shows from the current season, but we also have our newspaper, which is a fount of great wisdom when it comes to leadership and speaking skills.
And tips and techniques and tricks.
And tips and techniques. Yes, well worthwhile looking at.
It's excellent. Well done, Mara. I must say that I think you'll be going for the publisher of the year.
I'm doing my best, Ted.
Are there Oscars for such publications?
I don't know.
Can we nominate you?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it's certainly very good. And of course, Toastmasters, what we have this evening is what we have on most of our shows. We will have we will certainly have a word of the week. We will certainly have a quote of the week. Normally what we would do when we're early into the month is that we would do a little bit from the Toastmasters magazine. But what I'm going to be doing this evening is I'm going to take a little bit from the excellent newsletter that our district PR, Laura Bruce, has published. And I was smiling to myself because a newsletter, really, when it says newsletter, you think there's one page. But Laura is printing in a small book at this stage. Actually, there's 24 pages in this month's newsletter. And there's some fantastic stuff in that also. So we'll be taking a little bit out of that. We will also have, at long last, because of the technical difficulties we had over the last couple of months, we will have a guest this week.
That's very good news, Ted.
That is great news. So you will have to come back to the second part to listen to the wisdom of our guest for this week.
That's great.
And so who is going to be doing the word of the week?
Well, what do we have in the rest of the show? We have Paul, who is going to be talking to us about...
Story. Why are stories so powerful?
And excellent. That is one excellent. Of the most important things in speech making, I think.
Yes.
And in the final part, we'll be looking at club officer training.
Which is very, very relevant at this point in time as well.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed. So, Ted, let's have your quote for the week, or your thought for the week.
Okay, thought for the week. So, usually we have the word for the week first.
No, we don't.
I have no problem falling off my train and doing the thought for the week. And again, I'm taking from Simon Sinek because I do like the stuff he comes up with. Leaders don't look for recognition from others. Leaders look for others to recognise. And leaders look for others to give recognition to.
Okay.
But his quote is directly, leaders don't look for recognition from others. Leaders look for others to recognise. I think that's a good trait in a leader.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about an ideal leader. Now, if you think about the people who you've come across in your life who are in the role of leader, mm-hmm. they've got the status of leader.
Yes.
Let me ask you too, and let me ask all of our listeners, could you put your hand in heart and say, every leader I've come across doesn't look for recognition for themselves, but looks to give recognition to other people?
Well, I can certainly put my hand on my heart and say, yes, I do recognise the type of leader that I just mentioned. Because I think the type of leader you're referring to is not a leader. He could be a politician or a manager, but I'm talking about leaders. And leaders stand out because of the qualities that they have, not because of the title that they have.
And so many people rise to the position of, in quotes, leadership, mm-hmm. by virtue of the fact that they've been in the job for 35 years and the management thought that they ought to be promoted. So they become, in quotes, leaders. But you can't appoint somebody to be a leader. You can only appoint somebody to be a manager.
I have to agree.
And then train them to become leaders.
Yes, I mean, very lowly people went off and became great leaders.
This is true.
And they didn't become great leaders because they rose through the ranks. They got there because they were natural leaders.
Absolutely.
And you can recognize leaders in your own communities. These are not people that the world will know about, but they are leaders.
Sure. Absolutely. Paul, you're writing furiously there. What is your word of the day, week?
I was writing down the quotation, actually, because it appealed to me.
Thanks.
Well, the word of the week is really child's play, to mention. Particularly easy. And the word is doddle. Now, the word doddle, which I don't hear used at all the Toastmaster meetings that I go to, the word doddle, what does it mean? It means something that is particularly easy to do.
It's a doddle. We've often heard the phrase, it's a doddle, yes.
It's a doddle, yes. Now, why would you ever want to use a word like doddle? Ted, any idea? Why on earth
would you want to use the word doddle?
That should be as easy as pie for you to answer.
And it's a very easy question. I would certainly be using it if I was creating a speech or something and I wanted it to rhyme with something and to get across the point that, you know, you can do your icebreaker, and if you look at the new Pathways educational program, really the icebreaker in it should be a doddle. It should be as easy as pie.
Well, I'm very impressed with that as a point there about the usefulness of doddle, is that it rhymes with. We pass this over to Moira, shall we? Moira, what does doddle rhyme with that you might use in a speech?
Glenhoddle.
Yes. Excellent.
So hoddle and doddle.
If you were talking about football, you might mention Mr. Hoddle.
And I've seen an infant toddle across a room.
This is very true.
An infant toddle across the room, so it really was a doddle. And then we brought in, of course...
Well, for an infant to hobble or toddle across the room
hobble.
Is actually not so much a doddle, because they really have to work hard at it.
Yes.
And as the meaning of the word doddle is... Come on, somebody.
The meaning is that it's very easy to do something. But it's a lovely word, actually, and outside, but the very obvious one that Moira brought up, half the population of the world won't know who Chris Hoddle was. But if you speak... Glenn Hoddle, sorry. Beg your pardon. Well, I was speaking about his brother, actually, Moira. Or even his father, for that matter.
But other possible words you could associate or use doddle instead of are simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a simple thing you've done. Or else that it isn't rocket science, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Fly fishing is not rocket science. With all the experience you've had, mm-hmm. it must be a doddle to catch fish.
No, it isn't, actually. The fish are very clever when I go fishing. But it's, as a matter of interest, is it a slang word?
It's informal rather than slang.
It's informal, okay.
Definitely not slang. Yes,
right.
I went through dictionaries in
Excellent.
Order to...
And what is it? What part of speech is it?
It's a noun.
A noun, okay.
Yes, something that is very easy to do. Now you can bend it in a way and make it sound as if it wasn't a noun. You could say, that's really a Doddle, and that might seem like as if it was some, that's a simple thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But because you've said, you've prefaced it with A, that means that it is a noun anyway.
Oh, I see, right. It's A Doddle. That makes it
that
a noun,
makes it
doesn't
noun.
It?
Oh, there's no question.
It is a noun because of its...
There's no question.
Because of the prefix.
Because of the use in the part of speech.
I was finding it that it wasn't a doddle to make the point that it could be used to sound as if it were not a noun.
Well done. Well, I think we'll have to daddling our way through that. There are no anywhere. We've certainly got a lot out of it. And if we can incorporate that word into the rest of this program, we certainly will. Something that I mentioned that we're going to be speaking about is our district newsletter that just came hot off the press today. And Laura Bruce, this certainly wasn't a doddle for Laura. As I said, there's 24 pages. And there's a lovely piece on the very first page by our district director, Red Skelton. And he brings our attention to quite a lot of stuff. For instance, he has let people know in District 71 that our chief executive, Daniel Rex, will be at our conference in the spring.
And this is quite extraordinary because of all the conferences that are taking place all over the world, from all the districts,
yes,
he's coming to ours.
Exactly. This is going to make it so...
This is huge.
Yeah, and Red will obviously have met Daniel Rex. He certainly met him at a training in Lisbon.
Yes.
And some of the other officers from the DLT, certainly John Cox was also there. Mm-hmm. And they had the opportunity to listen to Daniel Rex. And also, there's a lovely piece in this particular newsletter about Aletta Rocha, our region advisor.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure of meeting Aletta over the weekend because she was at the district officer training in Manchester.
And one of my favourite interviews that we've ever conducted on the Talk Show for Talkers was with Aletta.
And I had the opportunity to compliment her on it. I actually have that speech, have that interview written out.
Have you?
I think the words that she used and the point she had to make, and she's such an elegant lady.
And such an elegant voice.
And such an elegant voice. And she really enthused.
She did.
Our audience, even at that, on Sunday morning in Manchester. Yeah. She really brought a huge amount to our officer training. It was a pleasure to be in that lady's company.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot. There's a fantastic piece on pathways in this month's newsletter.
And pathways are coming to our district on the 20th of March.
It is going to be here sooner than we think.
We have a date, folks. 20th of March for District 71.
And also on the very first page of the newsletter, there's a photograph of everybody who attended that at the weekend.
Really?
And there were over 40 of us. And this is something else that Laura Bruce is encouraging now, that you put your photographs, your club photographs, and hashtag it, We Are Toastmasters.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
very good.
If you hashtag that, We Are Toastmasters,
that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lovely idea.
Yep,
so
indeed.
There's some lovely smiling faces there, and on the front row, the people who were entitled to be seated are seated. And what I think is very interesting, and I want you Toastmasters in D71 to have a look at that photograph, because one of the pieces that I particularly like in it is that our finance director, Liz Hodgson, is propped between Philip O'Brien and Daniel Sanders at the back.
two very large gentlemen.
And he's so, you could really say he's the hooker, being propped up by those two gentlemen. And since we're going to be getting into the Six Nations this weekend, I think that's appropriate. That will stand out. It certainly stood out for me.
On that note, Ted, I think it's time for our first piece of music.
Well done, and that brings us nicely around to our first piece of music, and you will know, Toastmasters, why we've picked this piece of music. It's Blue Moon by the Marcells.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my eyes.
off the dang a dang dang ding a dong.
Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really didn't care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms would ever. Somebody whisper, please adore me. And when I look, the moon is there to go. Oh, blue moon. Now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, boom.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, boom. Bomb a 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 dang a dang dang a ding a dong ding. Blue moon.
From UFOs to voodoo, from serial killers to conspiracy theories, at Big Mouth Strikes with myself, Simon McKeown, every Tuesday night on Irish Radio International at 9 o'clock, we discuss the things you don't want to discuss. So join us every Tuesday night for guests, music, and talking the talk you don't want to think on Irish Radio International.
Irish Radio International.
Welcome back, Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, visitors and friends. You're very welcome to this section of the talk show for talkers. And as promised at the top of the show, we have a guest with us this afternoon. I had the privilege of meeting this Toastmaster in Sheffield last year. And we've been promising to do this interview, and this very moment we're in Manchester and we're in the Hilton Hotel, and this lady's name is Vicky Lester, and Vicky is Area Director for Area 44 and a member of Cranfield Speakers. So you're very welcome, Vicky, to the talk show for talkers.
Thank you very much, Ted. Pleasure.
And it's a pleasure to have you here too, Vicky.
Thank you.
So,
very
Vicky,
much.
A couple, 5 questions.
Okay.
We ask all our guests the same 5
Do
questions.
You? Super.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what brought you to Toastmasters?
What brought me to Toastmasters? Well, it was actually through my work where I was feeling I really needed to address the fear I have in public speaking. So, my reason is the fear, basically. And I was being asked to do more public speaking events on behalf of my employer, and every time I was being asked, I'm like, brilliant, yes, I can do that, no problem. But then inside, and when I'd get home, I would just be worrying about it from the moment I knew I would be doing something. I love my job, but when I was starting to think about how can I get out of this, I was like, I don't want to quit my job, I love my job. And if this is an element of my job, then I need to do something about it. It was just by chance that I came across a newspaper clipping. It mentioned Toastmasters that I'd heard of but didn't really know what it was about. And when I read what it was about, I was like, that is exactly what I need. So, and there was a club right on the campus of where I work. So I went along and I was just like, where have you been all my life? So that was what brought me along to Toastmasters.
And did you go into that meeting then on your own?
I did.
Very
this
brave.
For me, definitely. I was right. Am I going to walk in? I'm going to do it. I've got to do it. And just the welcome that I got when I walked into the room, I was just like, great. So they made me feel very welcome. I remember the first person I met as well. And he's really been a mentor to me on my journey and someone like my go-to person, you know, if I have a wobble or anything.
Yes.
And because of just how the club was run and how they made everyone feel, and I could see other new guests come in and I could just relate to them completely as well. And yeah.
Very brave of you to walk in.
Thank you. Yes, you know? It was. Yeah.
And you mentioned wobbly moments, which is something everybody has.
Yes.
No matter how good the other Toastmasters are, no matter how high they go in this organization, we all have our wobbly moments.
Yeah, there's still different reasons, and it's still those things that you're trying to develop yourself and overcome, and they could all be different, but you come to the meeting.
So well done, and you've obviously risen through the ranks because you're an area director.
I am, yes.
So well done.
Thank you very much.
So what has been the greatest benefit to you, even though you probably answered it?
I might have done already, yeah. So the biggest benefit is, well, coming out of my comfort zone a bit. I do still get nervous when I have to do public speaking, but I can honestly say that it's the practice, and actually just having that exposure. So the benefit for me is because I've been having to get up and force, you know, putting myself out there, getting up in front of people, the more I've been doing it, the better I've been, and the more in control of my nerves I've got, and that it's not necessarily always about me, it's about the people I'm talking to, you know, the message that I want to give. And I no longer want to quit my job when I'm asked to go and public speaking. So for me, that's the benefit, in that if I'm asked now for work things to go and present an award to somebody or give a presentation, I'm now great. And I'm not worrying about it every moment leading up to the event. So for me, that's the benefit. And it's still ongoing.
And
I'm
that's
still
what self-development
that
is all about,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
That's wonderful.
Exactly.
What a testimonial for Toastmasters.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Well done. That's excellent. And what has been your biggest Toastmasters challenge?
Oh, biggest challenge. I'd probably say, and challenge in a positive way, is probably the role I'm doing at the moment as area director. Every club is different,
that's true.
When you're in a role like this, that's when you really know how different they are. Not everyone's the same, I mean, it's all volunteer. People on the committees, they're all volunteering their time. And I think for me personally, I was like, well, if I'm on a committee, then I'm going to give it everything I can. And I think I thought everyone thought the same, but they don't necessarily. So the challenge is really, in a leadership position, you're giving, you know, guidance and advice. But at the end of the day, it's up to the committee and those members what they decide to do with that, which is great. But sometimes you want them to see that they can take different opportunities, and they perhaps don't. And it'd be lovely if they did, because then it would bring the members of that club so much more. So I think the challenge is just really finding that right way to connect with the committee differently across the different clubs that I look after, just so they can hopefully take those challenges on themselves and opportunities, because at the end of the day, they're on the committee for the members to have the best experience. It's just making them take those opportunities, which they don't always do. So that would be the challenge, I would say.
Excellent. That's a good answer. So if you could, what would you change about Toastmasters?
Oh, oh my goodness.
Is there anything you would have said to yourself, God almighty, we'll have to change this? I've asked this of international presidents.
Have you really?
And I really put them on the spot.
Okay, I've got just the thing that's come to the top of my mind would be their brand. So only from my own experience, I'd heard of Toastmasters, and I always thought it was people in red coats, you know, being master of ceremonies.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And it's not at all, and I think a lot of people think that. So they're doing the whole new educational program now with Pathways, which is fantastic. So they're really bringing it modern and up to date. But I think the name Toastmasters, if you don't go that step further to see what Toastmasters is about, you could miss a huge opportunity to develop in so many areas. So I would say, with all bringing things up to date, I know it's a strong brand, it's, you know, 90 years, but something needs to change, I would suggest. So that you see Toastmasters and straight away you know it's about developing public speaking and communication leadership skills, which at a glance of Toastmasters you don't know.
Very good point. And we asked that question of Luann Kent,
who is
a former division director, district director, sorry. In fact, she was district director 2 years in a row.
Yes.
But however, when we asked her that, she said that for an international communications organisation, we're bad at spreading the word.
Yes. Yep.
So I think you've nailed that one there now. So well done.
Yes.
So what keeps you coming back to Toastmasters?
Oh, I'm not done yet.
I hope not.
The great thing I'm finding is that my job is deputy director, and that gives me a lot of leadership responsibility. But I'm able to bring that into Toastmasters to give something back. For me, I'm still very much developing when it comes to public speaking. There's so much still I need to learn and still gain more confidence in just getting up there and not worrying about things as much as I do, and just let the message come out. So bringing me back is being able to basically give back to the members, help them develop, relate to them as best I can, particularly if they come for the same reasons as I do. And so for my own development and others, really, that's what keeps me coming back.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. And even though this wouldn't be one of the questions, how many clubs have you got in your in Area 44?
I have five clubs.
Five clubs.
Yes.
And what kind of membership would they have in each club?
They're approximately around, probably the average is 20. Ooh, and we've got one club that's it's fairly new.
Right.
It chartered just a couple of years ago. And that one is having an open night soon, which is hopefully going to just raise
excellent.
A bit more awareness.
Excellent,
for it.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is they're all close to each other, so they all support each other really
well.
Whereas I know that's quite lucky for our area because some are spread out a lot more. But everyone, you know, calls into each other's meetings, particularly at contest time, they support each other. So it's bigger than just that club.
Yeah, so there's about 100 people there.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
So they're all networking. And even our division is very close. And we just had training recently where we opened the three areas up and had it at division level. And so we had 60 club officers all together in a room, having the training together,
brilliant.
Growing the network even more and just sharing their experiences,
excellent.
Which is really good.
Yeah. Vicky, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a pleasure,
Thank
Ted.
You very much. And my thanks again to Vicky Lester for that interview. And Vicky and I, you will have noticed at Toastmasters that there was a lot of ambient noise in the background. Well, I can assure you all that Vicky and I were so engrossed in the interview and speaking to each other and really enjoying it that we didn't notice any of that ambient background noise. And to finish off on this, I'm going to fly you out with a piece of music now with Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other
it on to the best station on the net, around the planet on the World Wide Web, streaming 24/7.
Iris Radio International.
Headspace, it's an hour-long mix showcasing house, disco, techno, and everything in between. With influences from Detroit, Berlin, and Chicago, with high-energy mixes, we'll get you ready to dance into the weekend and more. Headspace is hosted by Peter Kinnin on Saturday nights between 7 and 8 on Irish Radio International.
I love listening to Irish Radio International.
Welcome back, Toastmasters. We'll be Toastmasters listeners and friends to the third part of our show tonight. I should remind you, I think, that we have an email address, which is info@irishtalkers.com. We have a website, which is www.irishtalkers.com, and you can find us on Facebook, as always, as The Talk Show for Talkers. And we do welcome your feedback, we do welcome your evaluations, and we do welcome your questions. So do get onto the website or Facebook and let us know what you think about the show, what you'd like us to cover in future episodes. I'm now going to hand you over to Paul, who is purposefully going to talk to us about storytelling. Paul.
I remember the first story told to me by my mother. She was driving a car with five children in it, and we were heading for Tremore. You see, that's the structure of a story. People are immediately interested in who are these people, where are they going, what's going to happen next. Once upon a time, I was standing right next to Ted Melanfi the day after he made his icebreaker. Ted was dressed in blue shoes, an orange pullover, and he was wearing his usual bracelet. Again, this structure of, I remember, once upon a time, it was on a Friday evening when it was snowing heavily in the month of May, just after Galway City was frozen. Moira O'Brien traipsed along the road, evicted from her house, penniless, absolutely without any purpose in life. So there are three ways of starting a story.
Excellent.
That I found out in my life. I remember, once upon a time, and on the day. And that could be the first time I climbed Kilimanjaro. So there are three very memorable techniques. Or when I say memorable, it's a doddle to remember them. After you have made the effort, you've got three golf clubs in your bag. Okay, now, how many times have you ever heard a world championship winning speech that hasn't told a story?
Never.
Never.
You're so right.
Mm. How many times have you heard a best man speech at a wedding that hasn't told at least one story and probably 10 of them?
Yeah, never.
Mm. How many times have you heard a funeral oration, a homily for somebody who has died, in which the person giving the homily hasn't told a story?
That's all right. Excellent.
So when things really matter, stories are what human beings fall back on in every situation that is of major importance. If you go right back to the beginning of humankind, and we go back to the first evidence we have, if we think about the Homer's Iliad, It was not written down. It was spoken. And passed on from person to person using a whole lot of techniques to make each character in the poem memorable. Every time Odysseus is introduced, one or two words are used, the noble and courageous Odysseus. And that is said every single time that character comes into it. So the audience knows who's there. And this is a human technique. How many people, at the beginning, doing their very best in their Toastmasters club, speak about a topic without telling a story? Many. Because they don't think of the advantages of introducing the topic, even if the topic is brain surgery and they know a whole lot about brain surgery and they want people in the room to know about brain surgery, why not start your speech with, the first brain I cut into, I needed to use a particular form of scalpel.
Excellent.
And that scalpel is only made in one place. Thank goodness I had it. And thank goodness the nurse beside me You see what I mean? Excellent. The whole thing is a story. Yes. And you're learning about a scalpel. You're learning that there are nurses beside the person. So, why use stories? Because they're memorable. Because also they're entertaining. Because stories center on people. And people want to know about people. Whenever they want to know about a topic, they would much prefer it to be introduced in the context of people. That's why for many times people say, I am, for example, I am a boat builder. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Albert Einstein, who taught me this or that.
Excellent, John.
So bringing people into it. Another feature of stories is that stories elevate or bring out emotions. People get cross when you describe a story in which somebody gets treated very badly. People feel huge rush of sympathy and even empathy when you describe people who are living a really hard, tough life. In other words, people in the audience have emotions. Human beings like to have emotions. Like to have their emotions, our emotions, stirred instead of being placid, calm, unaroused. To have feelings of sympathy aroused, to have feelings of joy aroused, to have feelings even of genuine sadness aroused. That is being truly human. So, the power of stories. Why do humans use stories? They use stories because stories matter. And stories are much easier to remember than all the facts and figures and abstractions that are used.
The best speeches, Paul, are stories. And you mentioned world championships and winners of public speaking, world champion, the world championship of public speaking. You're so right. All the recent winners, they have a story to tell.
Ted, there is something about you. I can't tell you what it is. But my father used to beat the living daylights out of me until the day that my grandfather intervened. You see, that idea, you start the speech with some broad general theme. Mm-hmm. But you move quickly into a story. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to lose half the people. Mm-hmm. So even if you were to say, teamwork is the essence of the success of Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Alex Ferguson, born in Scotland, who cut his teeth in Aberdeen, was a brute of a man. Mm-hmm. So you can see
Excellent.
That the audience wants the human side, the human story.
Yes, and you use the phrase there, actually, which is a technique that Dan Enjoya Hector actually used in his world-winning speech, 2015. I see something in you. And you looked at me and you said, Ted, I see something in you. But you were using that, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, but you plucked it from your brain. And we never forget things we hear, even though we may not know where they are actually coming from at the time.
Ted, the stories you've told me about that world-winning speech are firmly etched. They will be there forever.
I'm delighted.
So I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yeah, you did, obviously.
I was giving it to you with a twinkle in my eye to say, hey, Ted, that speech can be used again.
Yes.
So above all, Toastmasters, every single time you make a speech in future, even if it's a speech about wisdom, tell a story.
Now, there's something that comes out of the way you began this whole segment, which I'd like to pick up on, which is really important in storytelling. And that is, not only did you set the scene and introduce the person, but you talked about the environment that that person was in. And that uses people's imagination because they start visualizing where that scene is and what, how they can actually physically with their eyes see that picture. Mm-hmm. And that is very powerful. And that is what I think changes a vaguely interesting story to a grab by the seat of the pants story.
Yeah, I have to agree with Marla. That's a very good point when you said, do you remember? For instance, were you ever in people's company and you were asked the question, can you remember where you were the night they announced that John F. Kennedy had been shot?
Yeah. That's another technique, and that again takes you back to where you were.
And it's all thinking,
if you were to continue then, well, I was locked in an abattoir, unable to get out, except by standing on top of a cow.
Brilliant, brilliant.
So, all I'm saying is that whole thing, you say to the audience, do you remember?
Yeah. Yes. So
now, the question is, where do you go next, you see? And if you're going to build on that, you want to then tell them a story. The first thing is a question which sets a scene, but then consider the possibility of saying where you were, where you're dog was, where your pet lizard was, how the television blew up at the same time as they were announcing.
Excellent, excellent.
Anything that makes the imagination work.
Yeah, brilliant. And even though it's been recommended as a business tool that chief executives, when they want to give speeches to their employees, that they do a true story. Mm-hmm. The importance of story is well recognized.
Yeah. But only, I would suggest, since Steve Deming brought it to everybody's attention by telling the story of what happened when he left the World Bank.
Right.
And that's for another program someday.
Yes, excellent, excellent.
But it was 1990 when I first said to myself, this is crazy. None of these business leaders are used to telling stories. They think stories are children.
Mm. Yes,
and
you're
here,
so right, John.
And here was Steve Denning telling a story of what had happened within the World Bank that had actually shifted the whole culture of the World Bank.
That was I enjoyed that. That was brilliant. And do you take this advice you're giving us, do you take that from books, or is it because of your Toastmaster training and how you create your speeches? Or?
Ted, I've had a pint in a pub with I don't know how many people, and the most interesting conversations that take place in the pub are when someone tells a story.
Beautiful, yeah.
And of course, there's a great tradition of storytelling in Ireland anyway.
Yes,
so go into any Irish pub, and you're likely to hear a story.
And
but what I loved, what I loved about that sentence there, the pub, the people. You said you had a pint in a pub with people. Isn't that beautiful alliteration? You have all these rhetorical devices and all. Yeah.
Let's go well to us next on.
And,
to sign,
just in case the three of us are getting carried away here with Paul and his storytelling and his storytelling techniques, we're going to play you out with a piece of music now by another storyteller, but this is more of the musical variety, All of the Stars by Ed Sheeran.
I saw a shooting star and thought of you. I sang a lullaby by the water side. You knew if you were here, I'd sing to you. You're on the other side as the skyline splits in two. Miles away from seeing you, but I can see the stars from America. I wonder, do you see them too? So open your eyes and see the way our horizons meet, and all of the lights will lead into the night with me. And I know these scars will bleed.
I can hear your heart on the radio. It beats. They're playing Chasing Cars, and I thought of us. Back to the time you were lying next to me. I looked across and fell in love. And so I took your hand back through lamplit streets and knew everything led back to you. So can you see the stars over Amsterdam? Hear the song my heart is beating to. So open your eyes and see the way I arrive. The stars from America.
Join me, Alex Ray, every Monday at 8 p.m. on Irish Radio International for Awakening Time. Through music and different spiritual topics every week, we create a space dedicated to all of you to explore your connection with the collective consciousness. Allow yourself to enjoy, to feel, to dance, and beyond. Awakening Time.
Irish Radio International.
Well, welcome back, listeners. And now we come to the very best part of the entire show this evening. And in order to do that, I'd like to hand over to the most experienced presenter around this table, Mr. Ted Mullanphy.
And thank you very much, Paul, because what I'm going to do straight away is I'm going to deflect that to Maura O'Brien, who is going to do a piece about cot training. So well done, Paul, for that. Maura.
This is teamwork, you see. Teamwork, I give you the ball. Yeah,
thank you, and I pass it on.
And we're playing rugby.
But on the basis of, as we do in all Testmasters, he was trying to lift you up. So yes, you were rising up to the ceiling with pride for being the most
the
most experienced Testmaster here, because you've been Testmasters longer than any of us.
Yes, and whenever I'm in this gentleman's
company. I think we should let
Moira
O'Brien carry on. The poor woman's itching to say something.
So. She's not really, but she wants to talk a little bit about the subject of the moment, because we're in the club officer training season.
Excellent.
I think most areas or most districts or divisions are currently planning or actually holding their club officer training. So we thought it would be a good idea to just to go through some of the things that we should be looking at in club officer training. Now, I think the most important part from the training point of view for the individuals, those people who are club officers, is the roles and responsibilities of each member of the team. Now, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new to say there are seven officers in each club, and many clubs, I'm glad to say, now have deputies deputising for some or all of the roles. And this is something that certainly we would encourage greatly, because having a deputy means that you've probably got a shoe in for your successor for the next season, but also that. And that person is going to get a good experience of doing the role. So when they come to take it on for themselves, it's not going to be so strange for them. So going through each of the officer roles and giving some detail about what the role responsibilities are is, I think, the most essential part of club officer training. The next thing that we certainly do in our district, and I would, well, in our division, I would hope that is done in every division, is we have what's called a breakout session where we will get all the presidents together. We will get all the vice presidents for membership, vice presidents for education, secretaries, etc., etc. Each officer role, we would get all the members and their supporters, their assistants, together so they can discuss amongst each other what their problems are, what their issues are, what they see, how they see their responsibilities, and then come back and give an overall view to the rest of the group on specific questions. So we will set them questions like, how do you see the importance of your role in respect to, let's say, secretaries, for example, which you might feel is a very minor role.
A doddle of a role.
Yeah. A doddle of a role, even. Yeah. But in actual fact, the secretary has a responsibility to the rest of the committee members. So, for example, you say, well, how do you see the role of the secretary in importance in terms of the overall committee? Something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you give each group questions to answer, they can come back and report back how they see. And that makes them discuss between themselves, hopefully, to set up lines of communication between clubs,
yes,
which they might not have had before. Mm. And I think is certainly one of the more useful aspects of the club officer training.
I have to agree, and it's also a fantastic opportunity for learning.
It is.
Because it's not all clubs will have the same problems, like how do you hold on to new members?
Yeah.
How do you approach new members when they come into your club? What do you do to make them come back again?
Yeah.
So all these, and you can, between the different groups, they all discuss this in this.
Indeed, sir.
Great opportunity for learning.
Yeah. Now, we have to give, we don't have a restriction, not a restriction, a minimum time for club officer training like there is at for district officers. But I think any club officer training should be over a period of about 3 hours. I think if you try and cut it down less than 3 hours, then you're doing a disservice to your club officers. So I would always be looking at trying to fill an agenda with upwards of 3 hours. So what would you fill the rest of the 3 hours? Well, there's a number of things. Obviously, Pathways is coming down the line in our district, and that is inevitably going to be a major presentation for us. And that obviously has to happen because our Pathways commencement date is the 20th of March. We have 6 weeks or so away from that. We need to be knowledgeable and ready to go and ready to press the button on that date. What other things? Well, mentoring is a subject which is often left out.
Or brushed over.
And mentoring is, in my opinion, one of the most important non-committee roles within any club. It helps to retain members, new members.
Yes.
It helps to get new members knowledgeable about Toastmasters in a short space of time, so that when they come to their first three or four meetings, they're not sitting there thinking, what on earth is this all about?
Yes.
Because they should now know something about it. And it also gives the opportunity of a member passing back their knowledge, the things that they've learnt in Toastmasters, to a
of
new
course.
Person.
And the learning opportunity, again, in that situation, Mara, goes both ways. Because the mentee is going to be teaching the mentor as well.
Well, if you look at the Toastmasters International slides that go with mentoring, they do mention both the advantages to the mentor, the advantages to the mentee, and the advantages to the club.
Of course.
And that is part of the presentation. Now, all these presentations, they're all there in Toastmasters International. There are 10 or 12 of them or more. I'm not sure the exact number. On the successful club series, which is where most of the training that we do comes from. So what other things are there? There is the presentation on moments of truth, which I know I've seen in a number of our club officer trainings over the last couple of years, and it's one that I've given presentations on. And if you haven't seen this as a club officer, I do recommend you to go and look at Moments of Truth. It is a way of gauging the success of your club against a standard.
Yes.
And if you can follow the Moments of Truth standards, your club is almost certainly going to be a successful club. It's well thought out, it's good psychology, and it does work. Like many things in Toastmasters, like most of the things in Toastmasters, it's grown up over the decades.
It's tried and tested, yes.
So what more? Obviously, you can cover every single subject, but that would be too much to do in one session. I would say ideally you want no more than four sessions, but you want those sessions to be 15-20 minutes at a time.
And it's always an enjoyable afternoon or a morning. And when you say it should take about 3 hours, what we should be aiming for, in my opinion, is to get as many club officers at the one session of training. Yes. Otherwise, what you're left with is that you might have to do some mopping up later on. And obviously, then that may not take the 3 hours because you wouldn't have such a big group.
Indeed, sir. And mopping up is always painful because it's small numbers, and small numbers don't give you the same educational advantages.
Or atmosphere, right?
Or atmosphere, yes.
And people are going to have the opportunity to meet other Toastmasters from within the division, from within the district and the division, obviously. Because
that's one of the more important things about holding club officer training at division level is the opportunity to mix with other clubs. I know areas in the past always looked after their own training sessions, but then you're only talking about four or five clubs. And whilst they might be, or they will be, your local clubs, it's restricting the amount of feedback that you're going to get.
Of course, and the education as well.
Obviously, if you have a select section of maybe 18-20 clubs, you're going to have far more opportunity for networking, far more opportunity for education.
Yeah, and I remember our first club officer training in this Toastmaster season. It was a marvellous afternoon.
It was a great afternoon.
Fantastic, very enjoyable.
Yes.
Very, and there were liaisons built up on that particular session that day that will go right through the Toastmaster year. Because you have VPEs corresponding with VPEs from other clubs.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest things to come out of that session was that a number of the groups actually set up a WhatsApp group between, let's say, for VP membership or VP education, so that they could liaise with each other and learn from each other, and learn from each other's mistakes as well.
And that was something that came directly from that CAT training, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, indeed. So that's, and I'm using so, and I should strike so from my vocabulary.
Yeah, you should certainly strike it now since you brought the attention of it to our listeners.
Well, I always bring attention to my own faux pas if I possibly can, because that's one way that I learn.
Okay.
Or I teach myself. We are coming to the end of the show. Ted, you wanted to say something more about the District 71 newsletter before we finally close.
Yes, before we finally close, I am encouraging everybody to look at this newsletter that Laura Bruce has produced. It's your District 71 newsletter, and the amount of information on it is absolutely superb. The amount of work that went into it, and the people who contributed to this would be division directors, area directors, assistants. So have a look, and we'll speak to you all again next week. Bye.
So it's bye from me and bye from Paul.
Goodbye.
Bye. See you next week.